want you to know that I am very aware of two things this morning. One, I am female. It's a shocker, I know. But it comes with this warning. I have a very specific message for those of you who are here this morning and those who are listening online. And I am very, very, very aware that this kind of message can sound very different coming from a female voice. So if it sounds like I'm yelling at you, not my intent, okay? And I hope it doesn't come across that way. I just want to say that, did you know that Margaret Thatcher actually had to take lessons on how to drop her voice to make it politically? She paid tons of money to do teaching to learn how to drop her voice to a more male octave so that it was more pleasing to her listeners because they were used to hearing a male voice. It's actually a thing. So I could preach one message in one tone, and then I could give it to Pastor John or Pastor Trevor, and they could preach the same tone, but because their pitch is different than mine, it's going to sound less angry to you than me. So I just want you to know before we dig into this, not angry, okay? Not angry. Can we all say that? Not angry. Okay. The second thing I want you to know is that, again, I have lived this out and that I feel it is a very specific message for this morning. And so I believe firmly in my heart that if you can hear my voice, this message is for you. It is a passage of scripture that I am sure many of you have heard countless times, but yet because the word of God is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword, I believe that God has given me a new word out of it this morning to share with you. Not new like I created it and I'm being heretical, okay? New like it's going to touch you in a different way than you have heard this scripture before. And yet I believe that's because some of you need it in the way that God has unveiled it this morning. So can we take a second and can we pray? Would that be good? God, I just pray right now that this word that you have dropped in my heart, that what you want to be said would come out, God, that people wouldn't hear me, that they wouldn't hear my stories or my experiences, God, but they would hear you by your Holy Spirit speaking it to them and making it relevant to their life. God, I pray that you would give me the words that I need to do that fluently and effectively. God, I pray that you would use it to heal hearts and to touch hearts and to set people free in this place this morning. God, we trust you beyond words. And so, God, we give you the weight of our weeks, the weight of our moments, the burdens of our hearts, the distractions of our mind. And we ask that you would set them aside and seal them off from us so that we can be undividedly attentive to your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the title of today's message is Surrounded, God's Strategy versus My Perception. Okay, God's strategy versus my perception. How many of you know that God's strategy can be very different than what you perceive? Yeah. And I thought I knew that, if I'm being completely honest, okay? I thought I knew that, and I did. I knew it on one level, but I'm realizing there's a whole different level to that. There's a whole different level. I see my experiences. You see your experiences. I see the truth that I attach to them based on my series of experiences that I encounter a new obstacle, you do the same thing. So inevitably, we can reach some moments of conflict when all of a sudden Tim and I are having a discussion and he has his understanding and his experiences and I have my understanding and my experiences. They're different and we're both showing up going, this is the truth. Well, it is his truth and it is my truth. But we can have this conflict. And what we fail to realize sometimes is we can do the same thing with God. We show up to God and we go, here's your word. Here's your scripture. Here's what you're speaking to me. Here's my experience in life. You have failed me because it doesn't look like what I thought this was going to look like. And God is saying, I didn't fail anything. I didn't give you my strategy. I didn't give you my strategy. I played chess growing up. You may or may not know I was on the chess club. For the record, I was also in band and I also went to honor camp if you want to know what kind of kid I was. But intriguingly enough, I didn't have the grades that reflected that type of student. It was an intriguing mix. Okay. Anyway, point aside, we would learn how to strategize. Who plays chess? If you play chess, you know that there are like crazy strategies for this game, right? And all of a sudden, if you play with someone who plays more frequently, they're like flipping pieces like this. And you're like, that's illegal. And they're like, no, it's actually a rule. You just don't know because you play the basic version. Right? It's true. I remember the first time it happened. And so I called basically, like I hit the bell and called a flag on the play. And I'm like, they're cheating. No, it was a real rule. They could take these two pieces and they legitimately just flipped their spot. And I didn't know it could be a strategy. And so what I want to put before you today is that you may think that you are doing life by God's strategy. You may think that you are doing it according to what he has shown you, but the truth is that your perspective is myopic compared to his. He has all of these players, and they're all interwoven, and they're all working together. And the truth is that my piece of the game and Leanne's piece of the game, they're gonna cross paths at some point, and then they're gonna cross with Mary's. And God has a plan, and I can see a piece of it, but the full perspective only he holds. And so we can get caught up in the details of what seems to make sense to us, and in the process, we miss out on the freedom and the victory and the liberty of the big game, of the big picture, of the big scope that we never even once asked him if there was more that we couldn't see. And so I feel that this morning, there are a lot of us that are fighting a battle. And so my question for you this morning is, by show of hands, I'm not gonna ask what your battle is. How many of you in this place feel like you are in a battle? Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to tell you about 99% of you raised your hand or nodded your head. We are all in some sort of battle. Now I know some of you are thinking, well, that's scriptural, Pastor Stephanie. Okay, yes it is. But it's different when you feel it, isn't it? I'm telling you, Tim says to me this morning, I walk in the door and we get here really early because he's cleaning and I'm putting finishing touches. And he says, Pastor Steph, how are you doing? And I was like, I'm okay, thanks. He goes, you sure? Usually I ask people that. I'm tired, guys. I'm tired because I have a battle. I have a battle. And that battle is not you guys, just so you can breathe easy for a moment. I got some battles and they are tiring. And there are some moments where I can put that together really well and I can put a smile on it and I can decide to put on makeup that morning to hide it a little bit better if I need to. Gentlemen, you can try it, but it'll get a little weird. And the thing is that some days I hide that a little bit better than other days. But I feel like I'm in battle. I feel like I'm struggling. And the thing is that you have to know that God has maybe placed you in a place where you are battling physical things. Maybe it's an illness, cancer. Maybe it's grief. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it is a broken relationship. Maybe it's children that are just stressing you to no end. Maybe it's not any of those things. Maybe your life is feeling relatively peaceful right now, but you are one of the blessed spiritual warriors that God has called, and you are carrying the weight of someone else's battle. There are seasons where we all feel like we're battling, but if I'm going to be completely honest with you, I feel a little bit less like these two and a little bit more like that. Anybody else? Maybe that one doesn't resonate with you. Maybe you're more there. But you know what? I actually lately am not maybe so much there as I am there. We all battle different, right? Our weights are different. Our realities are different. And the truth is that if 99% of us feel like we are battling, we all are probably feeling some varying degree of this while we try and look like this. It's a big burden to carry, isn't it? And yet it's not one that he asks us to carry. I'm gonna ask you if you wanna take your Bibles this morning with me. You're gonna turn to the book of Exodus chapter 13. If you don't have a Bible, there's some in front of you. If you do have one, it is right near the very, very front, so you're not going to have to look very far. If you're in the front row, you can find one behind you or on my phone. Exodus chapter 13. We are going to pick up with the Israelites here. You may or may not remember, back in the spring around Easter, for those of you who are here, we preached through the story of Passover, right? And then we kind of went from Passover on the one Sunday into the story of Jesus. We touched on the Israelites having been freed from Egypt and all of the plagues that they endured, right? Does anybody remember that sequence of things? And so they had been through the battleground, And they were going through all of this stuff, getting ready to head out to what they believed was the promised land. So in Exodus chapter 13, verse 17, it says, "When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though it was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle." I'm going to have a surface area problem this morning. This is the first thing that I want you to know. First of all, I work really hard to make every message have some level of direct application for you, because I kind of feel like I'm failing. It's really irrelevant if I tell you a story or I read you a scripture and you can't transfer it to your life today. But here's what I want to talk to you about. There is an importance here that some of you I feel really, really need to get, and among them I can loudly declare that I have been one. I don't like the long road to battle. I don't. The Israelites left Egypt and they expected that God had delivered them, and they had been through the worst of the worst, and they were going where? Promised land. They were headed to the promised land, and they thought that it was going to play out, that they were going to get there. Now it says that they went armed for battle. They went armed for battle because the shortest route was going to take them through the Philistines. That was what was going to happen. So as they armed for battle, as they went about what they were going to do, I want you to picture a nation, okay? Not a little nation, a big nation, because it says that in Egypt, God had blessed them. So we're talking men and women, mothers, fathers, children, sick people, the whole gamut, all of them. And they are armed and ready for battle. They are going to defend themselves, okay? Now, we're not talking minor defenses. It's safe to say that we're talking swords and shields and big heavy stuff, okay? They are not geared out for like a hike that's going to last them as long as what they are set up for. They're geared out for a short distance and ready for battle, because that was what was imminent. When you head out for battle, has anyone ever paintballed? Okay, hunting? Anyone? Okay, what about Black Friday shopping? Okay, I got a hand in the back. Okay, when you get ready for battle, what happens? Has anyone ever gone to play paintball like this? Yeah, I'm ready for the game. I'll tell you, Pastor Trevor does not go hunting like that. The minute that we start approaching hunting week, this starts happening. Like, gear starts coming out and tree stands start coming out, and all of a sudden there's a whole new wardrobe of camo that I have never seen before. And like, it grows, right? And we know some hunters, and they have like face paint, right? They have mesh that they wear. You suit up. Do you do that calmly? No, you have adrenaline surging through your veins. They are adrenaline crushing, fear pronouncing. They are going to defend their people in this moment. That's what they're feeling like. They're feeling that experience. And so they are getting ready to go out. And it says, God decides, if you look at verse 17, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. God says, hold on a second, they might be ready, but they're not actually ready. So I'm going to take them the long route because I don't want them to go back. If you feel like your battle has you on the long route, maybe it's not an accident. Maybe you are on the long route in your battle because God knows that if you took the short route, there would be more opposition and you would turn your back on what he has called you to do. It's not fun to be on the long road when you thought you were going on the short road, is it? That adrenaline only carries you so far, and you just get angry that you're hauling all of this stuff and nothing is being accomplished. I want to encourage someone in this place this morning that you feel like your battle has been the long road. But God would say to you, I didn't accidentally put you on the long road. I did it to protect you. I did it so that you wouldn't turn your back on me, that you wouldn't turn your back on the promised land that I set aside for you to walk to. That's what God wants you to know this morning. The long road isn't an accident. It's not always a mistake. It's not always a detour. Sometimes it's the purpose to protect you for the plans and provision that he has laid ahead for you in the promised land. If you're on the long road this morning, trust him. Trust him. You can be on the long road for other reasons, but I believe in this place this morning, there are some of you who are thinking God just left you wandering. He didn't. He didn't do that. It's not the kind of God he is. He always has a plan. You didn't hear him wrong. He is taking you to a freedom that he wants absolutely nothing to stop you from walking into. Nothing. Does that resonate with anybody this morning? If you look at Exodus chapter 14, we're going to jump just a little bit, verses 1 to 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back, so they're just going to go back just a little bit, and encamp near Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite of Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think, the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain the glory for myself, through Pharaoh and all of his army. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. They did what the Lord says. Verse 8 says that, again, that the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. This is one of my favorite movies, Braveheart. Yeah. I was trying to find like a good battle scene, and I was like, man, Braveheart has the best ones. This picture, if you're into art, is what's called perspective, right? We view it from the perspective of we are part of this army. What are they going into battle for? If this wasn't Braveheart, we wouldn't actually know, right? We would just know that they're going into battle. What does a victory look like in this circumstance? How do you know? Well, the one who comes out with the most people standing? The reality is, guys, that God determines the victory. When the Israelites thought that they were leaving Egypt to go to the promised land, they were sure that the victory was the promised land. But scripture says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and they went through all of this so that he would be made known. The Israelites were fighting from their own perspective. Have you ever done that in life? You are so focused on the way you see things that you don't realize that the person beside you has the exact same thing from their set of circumstances, from their truth, from their scope. And we do it with God, and we do it all the time. We do it in the good things, and we do it in the bad things. And the truth of the matter is that God gets to determine what the spoils of war are that are the biggest victory. And it could be the thing that is the furthest from your mind. Could be. What does that mean? The Israelites thought that this battle was about their freedom, but God's plan was to declare his sovereignty to an entire nation who had despised him and begrudged him and decided that he wasn't the Lord. It wasn't about the Israelites at all from that perspective when you read this scripture. And so we can get all rah, rah Israel, but the truth is what we should be realizing is that God's heart is for the people who didn't even know him. You might be in a battle. You might think that you're staring the enemy straight in the face, but listen, you are, but God might have other plans. What you think you're fighting exists, but honestly, the how and the why you are fighting might be completely beyond you. What does that look like? This battle that you currently are in, it may not be about making you stronger, even though it will. It may not be about developing patience in you, even though it will. It may not be about you learning to trust God, even though you will. It may not be about learning to put on the armor of God, but you will. It may not be about building your faith, but it will. It may look like it's your battle, and at the end of the day, it's not even about you. Some of you are battling, and it's not your battle. It is a strategic placement so that God can be glorified in another circumstances in someone else's life so that he could know. And I can give you countless examples of this, and I won't for this reason. I don't want you to get lost in the details of someone else's victory that God has had. Because whatever you are fighting could look completely and utterly different on the other side than what their story looked like. And I don't want you to be clouded by looking for God showing up in their circumstances the same way he shows up in yours. Sometimes he does, but sometimes he doesn't. If you had told the Israelites, hey guys, don't worry, you're gonna struggle through this, but you're just gonna go through this suffering so that the Egyptians can get saved, they probably would not have been so eager to flee Egypt. Right? It would have been a very different scenario. And if God sat down and told some of you, listen, you're going to go through some hard times. You're going to have some persecution. you're going to have some suffering. Your relationships, they might crumble around you. You're going to be holding fast to me. You might be left living in a box on the side of the street. But don't worry, I've got this, and it's not actually about you. Anyone signing up for that? No. No. So sometimes he doesn't tell us. He doesn't show us what he's doing, because what he's doing is too big for us to just get. What he was doing was too big for the Israelites to understand. And that is not even touching on the concept that Paul writes about in Ephesians, that sometimes our battle isn't about flesh and blood, it's about spirits and principalities. Sometimes you might feel like you are fighting a person, but the truth at the end of the day is this isn't about a person, this is about a spirit. It's about a spirit that has dominion in an area, and God is using you and your war to break freedom in for other people. And if you look at it as your own thing, an entire group of people, maybe the generation that follows you, maybe your neighbors, they're going to miss out because you didn't fight the good fight. We got to keep fighting. So I want to challenge you this morning that if you are in this kind of battle, that you would ask God to open your eyes to his strategy, to the bigger picture. He might not show you the whole thing, but maybe you've been asking the wrong questions. Maybe you've been thinking that you're fighting for the wrong thing, and he wants you to see that the thing you are actually supposed to be pushing through in prayer is different and completely larger than what you were thinking. In Israelites' true fashion, if you flip back to flip ahead to verse 10, you see as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. The Israelites kind of do this, don't they? If you read in the Old Testament about their battles, they're like, oh, rah, rah, the Lord is on our side. And then all of a sudden it falls apart and they go backwards. And we can get really, really critical of them for that. But the thing is that I have had some perceived enemies come after me, and I knew that God had told me to trust him in the midst of the storm, and I did the same thing they did. I decided that the world was just out to get me. Maybe God didn't protect me enough. I've been there. But the truth of the matter is that we can learn that we don't need to get dramatic with God when things get hard. We can. He's still going to love us the same. But we don't have to, and we see that from the next piece of the story. If you flip down to verse 13 of chapter 14, Moses answers the people, "Do not be afraid, stand firm. You will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight your battle. You need only be still." Your battle strategy has to be simple, just like the Israelites. You have to stand firm and be still. Because who's going to fight for you? God. God longs to fight your battles for you. And you don't have to advocate to him to make that happen. You can cry out to him, because it's very clear in Scripture that he says he hears the cries of the brokenhearted. It says that we are to cry out on behalf of those who don't know him. We can cry out to him with our afflictions and our iniquities. But honestly, at the end of the day, when you reach this point in the process, what the Israelites needed to grasp was they needed to execute the plan and trust that when they stood still executing the plan, God was moving even though they weren't. And someone needs to know that today. If you are executing the plan that God has shown you, and it looks like everything else is falling apart, stand still. Because God is going to go ahead of you and he's going to fight for you. Now, there are some caveats, okay? About 2 months ago, we talked about the three bones that were going to stop revival, right? And we talked about compromise, we talked about criticism and condemnation, and we talked about bitterness. If you are living in something that God has shown you is not in line with his word, and you are not willing to set that thing aside, you don't get to stand still and let him fight your battle. You got to deal with the residue that he has shown you, repent of it, change your actions, and walk out something different. And if you are doing that, and you have reached a point in the battle strategy that you are at the end of what he has shown you, stand still. The battle belongs to the Lord. And for me, I need to know that, because I have some battles that are at a standstill. I do. You guys have some battles that are at a standstill. So I need to introspectively weigh out, as do you, am I being obedient to the word of God? Am I following his commands? Am I living in line with the things that I know are who he is and what he has called me to be, and am I executing that? Am I compromising somewhere? I ought to fix that if I am. Am I living in bitterness over the fact that my battle's not going the way that I thought it should? I ought to fix that one. But when I have done all else, I get to stand because I know that the battle belongs to the Lord. Listen, this wasn't just with the Israelites in Exodus. Psalm 27, verse 14. If you're taking notes, write, don't try and flip. You'll never make it there. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17. When the Lord spoke through the prophet to King Jehoshaphat, he said, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow. The Lord will be with you. Proverbs 21, 31. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory rests with the Lord. What does that mean? It means you need to do your due diligence. You need to get ready. You need to be prepared. You need to arm yourself with all of those things that Scripture says are the breastplates and the swords and the all of those things. You got to do that. But the battle belongs to the Lord. Victory rests with him. Psalm 55, verse 18. He rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 139, verse 5. You have surrounded me on every side. Behind me and before me, you have placed your hand gently on my shoulder. God has literally hemmed you in. There's another scripture that talks about being hidden in the cleft of the rock. Life can get really messy, but you, as his children, are hemmed in. You're protected. There's a safety in that, isn't there? I used to love when my kids are about Patrick's age, so two-ish, a little bit before it kind of starts, when things would just get really crazy, right? Like maybe they're in a nursery and there's too many kids, or they're on a playground and someone, you know, unknowingly throws a handful of dirt and my kid thinks that they intentionally threw it at them, but it just kind of hit them. What's the first thing your kid does? Punch him. Yeah, I did have one of those. That was not what I was going for, though. Mommy, right? They call and they run and they climb up in your lap and they know that there's safety and security there. That is what God is offering us as his children. Safety and security and the ability to sit and be still, because he's not going to let anything come against us that he doesn't have the capacity to either use for his goodwill or to stop. Now listen, that brings up some really tough questions for some people about the sovereignty of God, and I get that. There are some big questions about that, aren't there? There are some hard pills that we can have to swallow, and I have not been pleased when some people have looked at me and said, you'll get some jewels in your crown, right? That's the Christianese way of saying, suck it up, Pastor Steph. Don't worry, on the other side of life, you'll get your reward. You know what? I might be a little fleshly, but I'm not really concerned about the jewel on the other side if I feel injustice happening to me now. It's a personal thing I'm dealing with. I'm probably alone in that struggle. But what I have to know is this. Romans chapter 8 says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? For if God is for us, who can be against us? If I am living in relationship with him and he is for me, what can possibly come against me that he cannot use for his good to make me more into his likeness and redeem it for himself? Is there anything? Pain, sickness, suffering, hurt? No, nothing. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for you, who can be against you? I want to encourage you today that you are surrounded in battle. You're not battling alone. I don't care how much it feels like it. And some of you need encouraged in that today. And you're not just not battling on your own, because God is surrounding you. He will put people on either side of you to hold your hands up in battle when you can't go on. I have my team, you have yours. And you know what? The best part is you never ask for them. The ones that I have, I didn't seek out. Anytime I've gone to someone thinking, okay, this is going to be the person who can support me right now, they're not. God places on people's hearts a burden to bring you before his throne. And they walk with you, and you may never, ever know that they are standing there begging God on your behalf to do the impossible, to move mountains, to heal hurts, to set you free so that you can know his glory and you can make his glory known. So for those of you who are that person, don't quit praying, because we need you. We need you to hold up people's arms if that's the mantle that God has placed on you. That is a big job. But if you are the person who is stuck in battle and feels like God has forgotten you or put you on the long route, or he doesn't know up from down, and you are lonely and walking that path, that's not true. And the enemy is going to use that to try and stop you from walking in the freedom from bondage that God has determined for you today for the rest of your life. And there is no need to keep doing that. None. This is what I want to challenge you with this morning. You may feel like you are drowning in life circumstances, but you don't have to drown. You want to call it water wings, you want to call it a life preserver, you want to call it a dinghy, whatever. God is offering you, through relationship with him, through his son, Jesus Christ, an option that leaves it so you don't have to drown anymore. That you can rise above the things that are trying to weigh you down, and you can embrace your victory. He's offering you the opportunity to understand that his perspective and his strategy in battle is bigger than what you know. And you can trust him, and you can step out in faith, and you can believe that when everything else around you feels like it is pressing in and holding you down, he is standing around you, surrounding you, keeping those things from doing the imminent that you fear, and longing to raise you up in those circumstances so that his glory may be known to everyone around you. It's not always easy. It's not always the short route. And yet, it's what he offers us in his goodness and in his grace and his mercy. So this morning, we're going to sing this song. And I know some of you wonder, why do we sing so many songs at church? Some of them keep scriptures in our mind and they resonate through us. But honestly, they stir something up in us. They speak to parts of us. They come back to our memory. They're ways of praising him. They're ways of glorifying him. But I want to encourage you this week that when you feel like you are drowning and you are surrounded by things that are not going your way, you think about this song. It may look like you are surrounded. The thing you are actually surrounded by is him. He's fighting your battles. The victory belongs to him, and we get to walk it out in faith and trust.